الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من تمسك بسنتي عند فساد أمتي فله أجر 100 شهيد، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Respected sisters, beloved mothers and daughters, and my brothers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granting us the tawfiq to participate in a Deeni program, which in this case is in the form of the 16th annual gathering for sisters organized by the Islamic Dawah Academy. Every moment spent in learning and understanding Deen and practicing Deen makes the moments of our life valuable. Those moments which are spent in learning and understanding the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those moments which are spent in practicing the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they become valuable. These are the moments which will remain with us in the hereafter forever and ever. So when one is granted the tawfiq to attend such gathering, where reliable, authentic knowledge is imparted. One should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sitting in the company of ulama and acquiring ilm from them is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without ilm, deen has no existence. Deen will only exist with ilm. Without ilm, deen has no existence. Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala has said, and Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala has quoted him in his Sahih Muslim, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينٌ. Indeed, without doubt, this ilm is deen. Our success lies in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My success lies in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your success lies in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our individual success lies in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our collective success lies in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our success in this world lies in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our success in the hereafter lies in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Success is nowhere to be found except in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is through deen a person becomes successful in this world, at the time of death, in the grave, on the day of Qiyamah, on the Pul Sirat, and forever ever in Jannah. So my success and the success of the whole ummah lies in following the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala, a great muhaddith, if the caliber of Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala quotes him in his sahih, it is not difficult to understand the status of Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala. To substantiate something, if Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala quotes Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala in his Sahih Muslim, wherein he has collected the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, it is not difficult at all to understand the status of Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala. It is not difficult to understand the authority that he holds. He says, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينٌ. This ilm is deen. So if our success of this world and the hereafter lies in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is easy to conclude that our success of this world and the hereafter lies in the ilm of Nubuwwah. Success lies in the ilm of Nubuwwah. Without ilm, deen cannot exist. Because ilm is deen, deen is ilm. If ilm is correct, deen is correct. If ilm is incorrect, deen is incorrect. If ilm is complete, deen is complete. If ilm is incomplete, deen is incomplete. If ilm is reliable, deen is reliable. If ilm is not reliable, deen is not reliable. If ilm is authentic, deen is authentic. If ilm is unauthentic, deen is unauthentic. Everything depends on ilm. It is for this reason the number of ahadith that you find on the virtues of ilm, you will seldom find on any other amal. scores of a hadith mentioning the virtues of ilm. Virtues of ulama, the people of ilm, virtues of ilm, virtues of acquiring ilm, and virtues of practicing ilm. So my dear sisters, my beloved mothers, my beloved daughters, my brothers in Islam, I urge all of you to attach yourself to the ulama, to God-fearing, reliable ulama who have authentic ilm, who have a sound chain leading to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Attach yourself to madaris. Take out time on a weekly basis. 1 hour, 1.5 hour, 2 hours. Sit in the company of the ulama. Read authentic material and acquire ilm. Acquire ilm and practice ilm. So I was saying that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants one the tawfiq to sit in the company of the ulama, sit in the majalis of ilm, it is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is the first step towards deen. First step towards deen, understanding the deen, learning the deen, then after comes the practicing of deen. It is for this reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Man kharaja fi talab al-ilm fahuwa fi sabilillahi hatta yarji'a." One who leaves his home, one who leaves her home in search for ilm. You have all left your home today. Many of you have come from Leicester itself, but you have left your home at 12 o'clock, at 12:30. And you will be returning at around 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. And many people have come from outside Leicester, from nearby towns. And people have come as far as from London and Dresden, Bolton. They have left their homes at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. And they will be returning at around 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the evening. One reason for their coming here is search for knowledge. They have come here looking for something that they are unable to find in their locality. Knowledge. Something we will learn, something new we will learn, and we will be able to practice. Another reason, we will be able to sit in the company of pious people. So many sisters will come. Ulama will be there. Alimat will be there. Pious ladies will be there, and the company of the pious will have an effect on our life also. It will bring a change in our life. People have come with many intentions, many good intentions. One intention is search for knowledge, to learn something new that we did not know and we are able to practice. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Man kharaja fi talab al-ilm," one who leaves his or her home in search for knowledge, in quest of knowledge, "Fahuwa fi sabilillahi," this man, this woman, they are in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. "Fahuwa fi sabilillah," they are in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "hatta yarji'a," until he or she returns home. So if any of us was to pass away during these moments, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect us among the martyrs, inshallah. We are in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When our child leaves at 4:30 to go to the maktab, until the child of ours return at 7:30, 8 o'clock, that child is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Right from this tender age, right from its tender age, the child is being given the opportunity to be in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala daily through this institution of Makatib al-Madaris.
and any reward that a child acquires before it reaches the age of puberty, that reward is granted to its parents. So on a daily basis, from Monday to Friday, for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, our child is in fi sabilillah, in the path of Allah. If we have 2 children, then 20 hours in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have 3 children, then 30 hours in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We and the parents are being rewarded. And those students who leave their homes and they take admission in a Darul Uloom, then from the time they leave their home until they return, after a fortnight, some after a month, some after a term, and some after a year. Some students go home only after a year, and some after 2 years, some after 3 years, some after 6 years, depending on the student. That student is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until he returns. Whilst he is exercising, he is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whilst he is eating, he is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whilst he is resting, he is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because whatever he does, the program in mind is acquisition of ilm. Deen rests on ilm. The foundation of deen is ilm. It is for this reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has mentioned virtue over virtue, virtue over virtue, virtue over virtue, to encourage us, to encourage us to acquire ilm, so that our deen becomes perfect, our deen becomes complete. Because if ilm is incomplete, deen will always remain incomplete. So I urge all my brothers and all my sisters, take it as an advice, take it as a bequest. I urge all of you to attach yourself to ilm. Ilm. If we look at the Khayrul Qurun, the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the times of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, and the times of the Tabi'in, the times of the Taba Tabi'in, we find a great attachment to this institution of teaching and learning, teaching and learning. A Sahabi radiallahu anhu would travel from Madina Munawwara to Kufa, he would travel from Madina Munawwara to Baghdad. And he would spend all his life there in one masjid, teaching, 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 teaching whatever he had learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu migrated from Madina Munawwara to Kufa, and he resided in Kufa. And he taught the people of Kufa ilm, ilm. They all used to have halaqas in the masajid. They would sit at their appointed times, their allocated times, and people would flock to them in hundreds. And this continued, this continued. It is through the barakah of the sacrifice of Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu that the Ummah was able to see the likes of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala. Because the top student of Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was Al-Qama, and the top student of Al-Qama was Ibrahim al-Nakhai, and the top student of Ibrahim al-Nakhai was Hammad, and the top student of Hammad was Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala. He You'd find scores of Sahaba, scores of Tabi'in, scores of Taba Tabi'in. Taking up one corner of a particular masjid for years and years and just sitting there in their allocated times and people flocking from all over the world. إِنَّ رِجَالًا مِنَ الْأَقْطَارِ يَأْتُونَكُمْ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم had also prophesied the people from all over the world will flock towards you. يَتَفَقَّهُونَ فِي الدِّينِ They will come to you to learn deen from you. They will come to you to acquire the true and deep understanding of deen from you. يَتَفَقَّهُونَ فِي الدِّينِ They will come to you to become fuqaha, to acquire the fiqh. This is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam telling the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain whilst he is still alive. The people will come to you. إِنَّ رِجَالًا يَأْتُونَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَقْطَارِ It is for this reason the ulama do not go here and there. Because for ta'aleem, to teach, a person has to sit in one place. And to learn, a person has to sit in one place. You will not find a mobile university. You will not find a mobile college. You will not find a mobile darroom or a mobile madrasa. Yes, for tazkir. For tazkir. Tazkir. To bring the fikr of deen in the hearts of the people, the ulama have traveled far and wide. And they continue to do so. The ummah continues to do so. They travel far and wide. Our dawah and tabligh, the movement of dawah and tabligh, they travel far and wide in hundreds. To bring the fikr of deen in the hearts and minds of the people. To wake them up from their slumber. For that we have to go door to door. For that we have to go from masjid to masjid. For that we have to go from one locality to another locality. But as far as ta'aleem is concerned, for ta'aleem, the teacher and the student both have to sit in one place. Right from the time of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until today. For tazkir, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left his home, he went into the streets of Makkah Mukarramah. He visited people in different areas of Makkah Mukarramah. He visited people in different areas of Madina Munawwara. But for ta'aleem, he did not do this. For ta'aleem, he studied Masjid Nabawi. And the Sahaba used to flock to him. The Sahaba used to come to him. It is for this reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, he did not say that you will have to go and teach people. He said, إِنَّ رِجَالًا يَأْتُونَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَقْطَارِ People will come to you from all four corners of the world. يَتَفَقَّهُونَ فِي الدِّينِ for ta'aleem. For tafakkur. To acquire a deeper and better understanding of deen. When through the majalis of the ulama, when through the majalis of the du'at, the da'is, and the muballigheen, when they will acquire the fikr for deen, then they will want to learn deen. When a person acquires the fikr for deen, fikr for the hereafter, then in order to make my akhirah better, I have to practice deen. And I can only practice deen if I learn deen. Once this fikr is generated into their hearts, they will be compelled to go into the company of the ulama. So you stay where you are. Because people will come to you. They will come to you. And if you become mobile, it will be very difficult for them to find you. So you stay in one place. And you prepare a course for them. And you teach them. إِنَّ رِجَالًا يَأْتُونَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَقْطَارِ People will come to you from all four corners of the world. يَتَفَقَّهُونَ فِي الدِّينِ In order to get a deeper and better understanding of deen. And what is your responsibility? فَاسْتَوْسُ بِهِمْ خَيْرًا Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is speaking to the Sahaba who are the first mu'allimeen of the ummah. who are the first ulama of the ummah, who are the first muhaddithin and mufassirin of the ummah. People will come to learn from you from all corners of the world. So you have somebody in Medina Munawwara, you have somebody in Kufa, you have somebody in Baghdad, you have somebody in Qadisiyah, you have somebody here, you have somebody, all Sahaba. The Mu'allimeen from the Sahaba, they sat in one place for years and years. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, sat in one place. Abdullah ibn Umar, radiyallahu ta'ala, sat in 5 months here, 6 months there, 1 year there, 5 years there, in one place. And people are coming, flocking to them. People used to travel from all over the world and they used to go to Makkah, Mukarramah, Medina, Munawwara, because in the early stages of Islam, Hijaz was the center of ilm. So people would come to Makkah, Mukarramah, Medina, Munawwara, and they would start looking for muhaddisin and mufassirin, fuqaha, and they would sit in their company for years and years. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him the tawfiq to perform Hajj at the age of 16 with his mother and older brother Ahmad. After performing Hajj, he said to his mother and his brother Ahmad, "You may return to Bukhara. I wish to remain in Makkah Mukarrama and benefit from the muhaddithin of Makkah Mukarrama." And he spent a good portion of his life there in Makkah Mukarrama, and then after acquiring as much ilm as he could from the muhaddithin of Makkah Mukarrama, he travelled to Medina Munawwara and he stayed for months in Medina Munawwara, and he acquired ilm from the muhaddithin of Medina Munawwara. And then he went to Ray, he went to Baghdad, he went to Kufa, he went to Nisabur, he went to this place, that place, and he acquired ilm from 1,080 muhaddithin. Today it's very easy for us to relax in our sitting room, in our living room, in our lounge, in our sofa, in air condition, well heated room, and say, what have the ulama done for the ummah, and what are the ulama doing for the ummah? Take out 1 week and spend time in the company of the ulama. Take out 1 week. And with a good alim, spend 1 week. Then you will know what the ulama are doing even today. Without the ulama, my friends, we would not be able to practice the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without the efforts of the ulama, deen would not have existed for 1400 years. Deen is existing today not because of me and you, it is existing because of the efforts of the ulama. And the deen will continue to exist only because of the efforts of the ulama. Because ilm is deen. If ilm changes, the deen changes. A da'i, when he calls people towards deen, if ilm changes, deen changes. So he will not be calling towards the true deen. A muballigh, when he conveys the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people, if ilm changes, deen changes. So he will not be conveying the genuine and true deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These madaris are forts, fortresses, and the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being safeguarded in these madaris. In the final year of the alim class in our madaris, in this Darse Nizami, in these branches of Darul Deoband which you find throughout the world, in the final year, the asatiza, the teachers, to whom ahadith were transmitted by their shuyukh and by their teachers through authentic chains of narrations, they transmit approximately 40,000 ahadith to their students. These students in 1 year will acquire 40,000 ahadith from their mashayikh. And every year in thousands, the students graduate as ulama with 40,000 ahadith transmitted to them through authentic chain. I know who my sheikh is in Bukhari. I know him, and not only do I know him, all the academic circles know him. They know his truthfulness, they know how sincere he was, they know how religious he was, they know where he was born, They know where he passed away. They know when he passed away. They know where he studied. They know who his shuyukh were. My teacher, the teacher of my Bukhari, everybody knows him. The academic circles, everybody knows him. Sheikh Maulana Islamul Haq Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala. I was fortunate to study the whole of Bukhari Sharif from this one Sheikh only. Sheikh Islamul Haq Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala. And through the grace of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, through the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, other great muhaddithin of the time have also granted me permission to transmit the ahadith of Bukhari Sharif and Muslim Sharif and other books of ahadith. The likes of Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani, Hafizahullah Ta'ala, Mawlana Taqiyuddin Madwi, Sheikh Yunus, Hafizahumullah Ta'ala, great muhaddithin of the time. But from the beginning to the end, I studied the whole of Bukhari from my Sheikh Islamul Haq Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala, a very popular person among the academic circles. And how pious was he? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. It was his habit that from Shawwal until Shaban he would teach in the madaris, wherever he taught. Before coming to Darul Umbari, he taught in Jamia Husainia in Randir, a very well-known institute of learning in the state of Gujarat in India. From Shawwal till Shaban he would teach. And during his vacation of Ramadan, for 40 days he would go in the path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And during the latter days of his life, the last, I would say, 10 to 15 years, during the month of Ramadan, during his vacation, he stopped going in the path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and he began going for Umrah. And he said that I am going to Umrah because I can only go to Makkah Mukarramah, Madina Munawwara during that period. I am unable to go because I am teaching Hadith, Bukhari Sharif. And I am going during this vacation period to spend my time in Haramain Sharifain with this hope that Allah will grant me death in Madina Munawwara. I am old now. I could leave at any moment. I last met him just before, a day or two before his travel to Makkah Mukarrama in Nottingham, where there was a Darul Uloom run by Maulana Kamal Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala. And there he came to complete Bukhari Sharif, to impart the final lesson on Bukhari Sharif. So after the completion of Bukhari Sharif, when I met him, I was sat in his company. I said, Hazrat, you are going to London today. Why don't you come to Leicester? Leicester is not far from Nottingham. And after supper, we will drop you to London, or you can rest and go tomorrow morning. So he excused himself. And he said, no, I have to travel to Makkah Mukarrama. It is better that I reach London today. He has a daughter in London. His son-in-law is in London, who is the Imam of Badham Masjid, Sheikh Munawwar. So I said, inshallah, Hazrat, when you return, then break your journey when you are traveling from London to Bodhidan. So he looked up at me and he said, why are you saying this? That I should return. Make dua that I die in Madina Munawwara. This was his last journey. He said, why are you saying this, that I should return? I'm going every year to die in Madina Munawwara. I have been unsuccessful thus far. Make dua that I die in Madina Munawwara. Ilm very, very firm. He was the Ustadul Asadila at Darul Umbari, because our respected teacher, beloved teacher, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Yusuf Mutala Sahib Hafizahullah Ta'ala, he also studied by him when he was studying in Jamia Husseinia. So when he was in Darul Umbari, he was the Ustadul Asadila, the teacher of the teachers. Very, very pious. Very strong in his ilm. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When he would explain the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would mention the incidents of the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, then for a while, for many moments, you would go into a dream world, and you would find yourself actually in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he would explain the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, the liberation of Makkah Mukarramah, the listeners would actually feel that they are also part of this liberation. And piety and humbleness, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. I was fortunate to be very, very close to Shaykh. I was one of those people who had the fortune to be very close to Shaykh. I used to attend to his personal matters, his correspondence. In the many years that I served him, I never heard in his majlis ghibah. When we study the events of the life of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, we find this piece that he says that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not question me regarding ghibah, because I have never backbited anybody in my life. So I tell myself that this is the inheritor of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, not only in ilm, in amal also. My belief regarding my Ustad Shaykh Islamul Haq Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala is that he is the true inheritor of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, both in ilm and amal. And it is my belief that what I have seen from him on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will not question him regarding ghibah, because he was far away from ghibah. No layani. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So particular regarding his timetable that you could tell the time by looking at what he is doing. Those people who knew what he would do at what time, by seeing him have a cup of tea at tea time, you would be able to tell the time. That is how particular he was. If he is drinking tea, then it must be between 4 and half 4. It can be before 4, it can be after 4. So particular in amal. In his old age, in the month of Ramadan, 15 days he would spend in Makkah Mukarramah, 15 days in Madina Munawwara. In the first 15 days in Makkah Mukarramah, in the state of fasting during the day or after Taraweeh, he would perform one Umrah daily. All 5 times Salat with Jamaah with Takbir Ula. Ilm and Amal both. How did he pass away? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The Khatm of Quran takes place in Makkah Mukarramah, Madina Munawwara, usually on the 29th night. The year he passed away, the Khatm of Quran took place on the 27th night. Every year it takes place on the 29th night, only sometimes they take it to 27th. The year he passed away, the Khatm of Quran took place on the 27th night. And it so happened that it was a Friday night. So 27th night of Ramadan, Friday night, after the completion of the Quran, as per his habit, after he came to his place of residence, his hotel, he went to sleep. He would wake up and he would perform his tahajjud, not in Masjid Nabawi, at home in the hotel. Why? Because this was the practice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would perform his tahajjud at home, not in Masjid Nabawi. So he got up before his son, who accompanied him, got up. He got up early as per his habit. When the son got up, he saw the father in sajda. So the son went to perform wudu. After he came out of the wudu, he was still in sajda. Abba is in tahajjud. He started preparing suhoor. Suhoor is prepared. He is preparing the dasturkhan, the sufra. Everything is prepared, and then he noticed that Abbaji is in sajda, long sajda. He is very particular about time. What's happening? When he went close, Abba had passed away in tahajjud whilst in sajda. And he remained in sajda until the sun went to see why Abba is not lifting his head from sajda. So I was saying that alhamdulillah in our madaris the ilm is passed on through authentic reliable sources. All the academic circles, they know Shaykh Islamul Haq Sahib, his piety, his status in ilm. His teacher in Bukhari, who did he learn Bukhari from? From whom did he study Bukhari from beginning till end? From Mufti Kifayatullah, Rahimahullah Ta'ala. Well known person, more well known than he is. Despite being from another era, more well known than he is. Everybody knows Mufti Kifayatullah Rahimahullah Ta'ala. Mufti Kifayatullah Rahimahullah Ta'ala learned the whole of Bukhari Sharif, studied the whole of Bukhari Sharif from Shaykhul Hind, Maulana Mahmud Hasan Deobandi Rahimahullah Ta'ala. More well known than Mufti Kifayatullah. And Shaykhul Hind Rahimahullah Ta'ala learned the whole of Bukhari Sharif from beginning till end from Qasimul Ulum wal Khairat, Maulana Muhammad Qasim Nanutwi Rahimahullah Ta'ala. All these well known personas, the chain is there. Chain is there. And Maulana Muhammad Qasim Nanutwi Rahmatullah Ali from Shah Abdul Ghani Rahimahullah Ta'ala. Shah Abdul Ghani Rahimahullah Ta'ala from Shah Muhammad Ishaq Rahimahullah Ta'ala from Shah Abdul Aziz from Shah Waliullah Sahib Muhaddis Dehlawi Rahmatullahi Alayhi. These are all well-known personalities. And after Shah Waliullah Sahib Muhaddis Dehlawi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, the personalities are well-known throughout the world among the Arabs and the Ajams. Up to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alayhi Wa Sallam. And each and every person's life is scrutinized. Each and every person's life is, he can only be an authentic narrator of the ahadith if his life is in accordance with the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. If any of these narrators are found in any immoral act or any disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then their hadith becomes zayif. It does not remain sahih. People will not pay attention to them. They become ordinary muhaddithin. They don't remain like the likes of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. It is for this reason, there is an incident that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala was once traveling. And he had 1,000 or 100,000 dinars, a fortune of that time. Even if it is 1,000, it is a fortune. I cannot remember correctly. 1,000 or 100,000 dinars. He was traveling by sea voyage. And in the cabin where he was given a bed, he became friendly with the person who was next to him. Maybe just the two of them shared the cabin. When he became friendly, he said, "Look, it's a long journey, and if I pass away, then I have this fortune. Please pass it on to my inheritors. This is the address." Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi did not know that this person was very untrustworthy. After a week, 10 days, 2 weeks, one day when everybody was gathered together at lunch, at supper for salat, this person got up from his place, he went into his cabin and he came out screaming. And somebody has stolen my 1,000 or 100,000 dinars. Somebody has stolen my fortune. And he thought to himself that the first person who will be searched is Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. Because he is staying with me, we are always together. And I have put a claim to that 100,000. If this 100,000 is found from Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he will be found guilty and that money will be given to me by the people. They will decide in my favor. And I will become a wealthy person in moments. This was his trick, this was his plan. People went to search the belongings of Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, but nothing was found. They searched Imam Bukhari, first belongings, thereafter Imam Bukhari, nothing was found. So they searched the whole ship and nothing was found. So people came to the conclusion that it was only a hoax, and he thought that maybe in the ship somebody was carrying thousands of dinar, and if I make this show, then I will be able to take that money away from that person. So they started lamenting him, and everything was over after a while. When the journey came to its end, and when they both met each other to depart from, Imam Bukhari did not say anything to him. When they departed from each other, he said to Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, said, "Where is that fortune gone? Where did you hide it? You showed me that fortune, nobody could find it. Where is that fortune?" So he said, "The fortune is in the sea." He said, "The fortune is in the sea." He said, "The fortune is in the sea." That fortune? It takes a whole life for a person to accumulate that fortune. And he's thrown it in the sea, because Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi and his father, he was also a muhaddis, he was a very rich person, he was a tradesman. And he left behind a lot of wealth for Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. He said, it takes a person a whole life to accumulate that amount of money, and the fortune just gone in the sea, you threw it in the sea. He said, "Yes." He said, "Yes. I destroyed that wealth to safeguard my other wealth." On one side was this fortune of dinars, and on the other side was the fortune of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If I was accused of stealing, until the day of Qiyamah, nobody would have accepted my hadith. So he said, when you started shouting that my wealth is gone, my fortune is gone, I understood your trick. And the money at that time was in my pocket. So I very quietly and secretly took out that bag of fortune and slipped it into the ocean. And I said that, no, I can let go of this fortune, but not the fortune that I have acquired by going into the company of 1080 mashayikh. That is how pure their lives were. So I was saying, my brothers, my sisters, that ilm is a very, 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 very great fortune. It is a very great wealth. Imam Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala used to say, "Radina qismat al-jabbari fina lana ilmun walil juhali malu. فَإِنَّ الْمَالَ يَفْنَى عَنْ قَرِيبٍ وَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ بَاكٍ لَا يَزَالُ رَضِينَ قِسْمَةَ الْجَبَّارِ فِينَا." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted some people wealth but not knowledge. And He has granted some people knowledge but not wealth. Ali radiallahu anhu says that I belong to that group whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted knowledge but not wealth. And he said, "I am very happy with this distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Radina, we the ulama are happy. Kismat al-jabbari fina, with the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards us. What is the distribution? Lana ilmun walil juhali malu. Lana ilmun. Allah has granted us ilm, not wealth, ilm. Walil juhali malu, and He has granted wealth to those people who are not educated, who do not have the knowledge of Nubuwwah, the ilm of Nubuwwah, the ilm of Quran and Hadith. So they have the material wealth, but not the wealth of the knowledge of Nubuwwah. And we do not have material wealth, but we have the wealth of the knowledge of Nubuwwah. We are very, very happy. Why are we happy? He says, "فَإِنَّ الْمَالَ يَفْنَى عَنْ قَرِيبٍ وَإِنَّ الْإِلْمَ بَاقٍ لَا يَزَالُ." He said, because this wealth, this material wealth, will come to an end. فَإِنَّ الْمَالَ يَفْنَى عَنْ قَرِيبٍ. It will perish very soon. عَنْ قَرِيبٍ. It will perish very soon. This wealth, material wealth, will perish very soon. Either the material wealth will go away, or we will leave the wealth behind. We will separate from each other. Material wealth does not go with us to the grave. Material wealth will not come with us when we stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Material wealth will not walk with us on the pool sirat. Material wealth will not help us in the fire of Jahannam. No. Material wealth will not push us in Jannah. No. Material wealth will only benefit us if we use it, if we acquire it and use it according to the wishes of the Creator, and if we send it before us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَدْبَعُ الْمَيِّتَ ثَلَاثَةٌ. After a person dies, three things follow him. يَدْبَعُ الْمَيِّتَ ثَلَاثَةٌ. Three things follow him. يَدْبَعُهُ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعَمَلُهُ. Three things follow a person after he dies. فَيَرْجِعُ مِنْهُ إِثْنَانٌ وَيَبْقَى مَعَهُ وَاحِدٌ. Two things return and one thing remains with him in the grave. What follows him? Ahluhu, his family, friend. Wa maluhu, his wealth. Because in the days of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, slaves were a commodity. That was also a wealth. And the slaves used to go to bury the master up to the grave. So the wealth also goes up to the grave. And amal also goes up to the grave. Amal, good amal or bad amal? Two things return. فَيَرْجِوْ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ. His wealth and his family and friends, they return. وَيَبَقَى مَاهُ أَمَلُهُ. And only his amal remains with him. Acquisition of ilm, that is amal. Propagation of ilm, that is also amal. Learning ilm is amal, teaching ilm is amal, practicing ilm is amal. So a person who engages in learning and teaching and practicing ilm, his whole life will be amal, 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 amal. Even before he goes to sleep, he is thinking about a question on a particular hadith that he needs to solve before going in the class tomorrow. And while sleeping, he is thinking about it. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When we study Bukhari Sharif, when we teach Bukhari Sharif, then Bukhari Sharif begins with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Babun Kaifa Kana Bad'ul Wahyi ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala does not begin his book with hamd and sala and salatu salam like normally other book writers do. He does not begin his book by saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi sayyidina wa maulana, and then he begins the book. No, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and he goes direct to Babun, he begins the book. So when teaching and learning, this question arises that despite Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam encouraging the ummah to read hamd, read salat and salam before lecturing, before writing anything, before anything good, why did Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, who is very very particular regarding following each and every instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did not write hamd and salam in this book of his? It is an academic discussion. And the ulama have given various answers to this academic question. Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, when he used to lecture in his latter days of his life, when he had migrated to Madina Munawwara, after migrating to Madina Munawwara, and after that, if anybody used to ask him to lecture on the first hadith, he would pose this question, and thereafter he would say that Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi has given this answer, Allama Aini has given this answer, so and so has given this answer to this question. But he said, one day when I was asleep, I saw a dream in which a lesson of Bukhari was to take place, and Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala was also present. And he instructed me and he said, Zakaria, you give the verse of Bukhari Sharif. What I am saying is that the person who gets obsessed in acquiring ilm, teaching ilm, even in his sleep, he is learning and teaching. Manhumani la yashba'an. Two people can never satiate themselves. Two people can never fill their bellies. Two people. Manhumun fi dunya. That person who is greedy for wealth. Woman who will feel ill, and that person who is greedy for knowledge. All the time ill, 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 all the time ill. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allama Saraqsi rahimahullahu ta'ala, a great faqih, the governor of his time, if I can remember correctly, it is Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, he became unhappy with him. And he jailed him in the well, that he should be lowered in the well, and he should not be granted permission to come out of the well for so many months. Now he was a great teacher, he had a halaqa in the masjid. He had allocated his time for the students of deen. He would sit in the masjid, and students would flock in hundreds. Now he is in the well. So his students came to visit him, ask him how he was. So he said, the halaqa will continue as usual. The halaqa will continue from the well as usual, from the prison. So the students used to gather in hundreds around the well. And Allama Saraqsi rahmatullahi alayhi would say something, and one student would convey his message to all the other students. And all the students used to write that in. No library, no research. His ilm was in his heart and mind. And he was dictating his ilm from the well. Only that ilm which he dictated from the well in those a few weeks or a few months, when it was compiled, it was 50 volumes. In the well, they think about ilm. In the jail, they think about ilm. In journey, they think about ilm. And ilm and amal, ilm, how can we preserve this ilm? So that if this ilm is preserved, this deen is preserved. Then only people will be able to practice the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and acquire success in the hereafter. The ulama are doing a great job for the ummah, my friend. Within the four walls of their homes, within the four walls of their classrooms, within the four walls of their madaris. So Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya rahimahullah ta'ala says that I saw in a dream. So he quoted in a verse, he quoted, he said, that the answer to this question, that why did Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala omit hamd and salat and salam from Bukhari Sharif, he said, Hafiz Ibn Hajar has said this, this commentator has said this, this muhaddith has said this. And then he said, there is another answer, a new answer. I will not go into the academic discussion, I will not mention the answers, but he said, there is a new answer. He said, one day I saw a dream in Madina Munawwara, I was asleep. And that was taking place on Bukhari Sharif. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi was also present. And he said to me, Zakariya, you give dars. You give dars. So I was a bit hesitant, because Imam Bukhari is there, and I am, he said, it's okay, I am here. I will supervise you, I am here, you give dars. So Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullahi said, I began the dars. And I began the dars, and I put this question forward, that there is a question, that why did Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala not write hamd and salatu salam? And he said, Hafiz ibn Hajar has said this, and Allama Aini has said this. He said, when I completed all the answers, Imam Bukhari said, no, the reason is this. And he gave the reason. He said, the reason is this. So Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullah alayhi says that this is another answer. Imam Bukhari himself has told me in the dream that it is because of this reason I have not put down hamd and salatu salam. They are immersed in ilm and amal. Not only ilm, ilm and amal. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So I urge all my brothers, all my sisters, remain firm. Acquire ilm. Inna hadha ilm deenum fanduru amman ta'khuduna deenakum. This ilm is deen. A person can only become successful in this world and in the hereafter if he has deen. And if ilm is deen, then a person can only have deen in his life if he has ilm in his life. If there is no ilm, there is no deen. Acquire ilm. Value the ulama that we have with us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said that one of the signs of Qiyamah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise ilm from this world. Ilm will go away. And he said that ilm will not go away from the hearts of the ulama. That the ulama will wake up in the morning and the ilm is gone. He said no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away ilm by taking away ulama. We hear every month, every second month, every third month that a great alim has passed away. And we do not find the substitute for that alim. Those ulama that are in reach as far as we are concerned, those ulama that are approachable to us, that are reachable, those ulama with whom we are compatible, who are compatible to us, before they are also taken away by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us value them and let us learn as much as we can. So I will end my talk here. Ilm and amal both. Ilm and amal. Al-Hakim al-Ummah Maulana Ashraf al-Ithanwi rahimahullah ta'ala says that wherever the virtues of ilm has been mentioned in the Quran or a hadith, wherever the virtues of ulama has been mentioned in the Quran or a hadith, it is for that ilm which is combined with amal. And it is virtue for those ulama who are practicing ulama. So ilm and amal, let us acquire as much as possible. And let us go from here with this view that I want to remain a talibul ilm until I die. What normally happens is that those of us who go on to learn more in the Darul Ulooms, in the higher institutions, then our mindset is that I am a talibul ilm until I graduate from this Darul Ulum. Once graduate, I am an alim now. I am not a talibul ilm. That is the mindset. And for those who do not go to higher institutions, they cease to be talibul ilm at the age of 13. At the age of 14, maktab finished, the evening madrasa finished, talibul ilm is finished, talab ilm is finished. No, my friends. No. We should remain talibul ilm until we breathe our last. Utlubul ilm min al mahdi ila al lahd. In Arabic it is said that seek ilm from the cradle to the grave. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, a great faqih, one of the four great imams, and a great muhaddith, great faqih, great muhaddith, and a very pious personality, Imam Muhammad Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala. Ilm very great, amal very great. Allahu Akbar. All these pious predecessors, they were great in ilm, great in amal. In his old age, when he became very old, he went to somebody for cupping. Now in cupping, the blood is extracted and it could be harmful for an old person. An old person can become weak because of the extraction of blood. So after the cupping was done, somebody said to him that Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, in this age you went to do cupping, it was not good for your health. So he said that during my life I have acquired thousands of hadiths, and there is not a single hadith which I have not practiced. This was the only hadith which I had not practiced. Today, tomorrow, I became old. And I thought to myself that this is my only chance before I die. I did not want to leave this world without practicing the ahadith that I have had from my teachers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in his old age, somebody saw him with papers, with exercise books, with ink pot, with pen, that he was going somewhere, as if to acquire ilm. So the person asked, إِلَا مَتَى يَبْنَ حَمْبَلْ O Ahmad ibn Hanbal, for how long are you going to continue seeking ilm, learning ilm? So he picked up the ink pot. He showed the ink pot to the questioner and he said, مَأَلْ مِحْبَرَتِ Mihbara means ink pot. So he said, with this ink pot, مَأَلْ مِحْبَرَتِ إِلَا الْمَقْبَرَتِ He said, with this ink pot, I will go to the graveyard. Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah ta'ala, he is in his final moments, very ill, very sick. And one of his students come to meet him on his deathbed. Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam, how are you? Alhamdulillah. And after a little conversation, he says, I have a question for you. Imam Abu Yusuf is telling his student, I have a question. Ilm. Even before dying, he wants to convey this ilm. So the teachers, when they were students, they exerted every effort to accumulate as much as possible from their teachers. And after the teachers left this world and when they became teachers, they exerted every effort to impart and give as much as possible. So they imparted as much as possible when they were students, and they imparted as much as possible when they become the teachers. So Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi is departing from this world, and he thought that this is a masala that this student may not know. Let me convey it to him. So he said, I have a question for you. He said, yes, my teacher, what is the question? He said, when you go to do rami, to do pelleting, which is better? To pellet while standing on the ground or to pellet while sitting on the camel? He said one of the two, that it is more better to pelt the wires from the camel. Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi said, Akhta'ata, you have made an error. So he said, if not on the camel, then it must be while standing. So he said, while standing on the ground, he said, Akhta'ata, you have made an error again. A person on his deathbed in his final moments, and he is fully aware of this masala. And it's not something fard, it's not something wajib. It is what is more preferable, what is more better. So he said, oh my teacher, you tell me, what is the correct answer? So Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi said, that every pelleting which is followed by another pelleting, so on the first day, on the 10th of Zulhijjah, when you go to pellet, you pellet only the big shaitan. There is no pelleting after that. So every pelleting which is followed by another pelleting, and the second is every pelleting which is not followed by another pelleting. Every pelleting which is followed by another pelleting, it is more virtuous to do it while standing. And every pelleting which is not followed by another pelleting, it is more virtuous to do it whilst on the camel. Because when you go to pelt, you will pelt and there is another pelting. So you pelt while smoking, so you do not cause inconvenience to other people. Then you pelt again the second time, you don't cause inconvenience to people. And then you get on your camel because it's the last pelting, and you pelt and you go away. He said, I was wonderstruck in his final moments. And he said, I thought that I am causing him inconvenience, so I said, can I take leave? I wanted him to rest, because if I stay here, he will remain in this academic discussion. So I said, can I take leave? Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi said, yes, you may take leave. That was the last conversation. Because he said, when I reached the main door of the house, I heard the announcement that Imam Abu Yusuf has passed away. This was the zeal they had. And what is our mentality? Oh, I have studied in the maktab, alhamdulillah, I know everything. And anything more I need, now we have muftis and ulamas in every home. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, so we don't have to go anywhere else. Muftis and ulama in every home. When 5-10 people are sitting together, every person is a mufti. They do not feel the need, not a single person will say, that hold on, this is not our area. Let's ask the ulama. No. My opinion is this and my opinion is this and my opinion. We will only accept an opinion of an alim if it suits our way of thinking. Our religious, irreligious, both groups, we have made our own frame of mind. If somebody is sitting there with the same frame of mind, we do not free ourselves of the clutches that we are in. We sit with those clutches and then we try to benefit from the ulama. How is it possible to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When we accept only that which pleases our heart and we throw away that which is not suitable to us, which is not acceptable to us, which is not according to our way of thinking, which is not according to the way we have been brought up to think, how is it possible? First and foremost, we have to assess the alim that we go and visit. Is he authentic? Is he reliable? Has he acquired his ilm from the right authentic sources? Is he God fearing? Does he have the fikr of the hereafter? Is he working for the betterment of the ummah? We can all assess. Once we come to this conclusion, should we not accept what he is saying to us? And if there is a need, we can always go and discuss with him. In our sitting rooms, in our living rooms, discussion. And if we don't have a friend circle, if we don't have a group, or if a question arises in our minds where we cannot find anybody to discuss with, then Maulana Google and Mufti Google. The most dangerous method of acquiring ilm in this day and age is the internet. The most dangerous method of acquiring ilm is internet. The greatest danger for the ummah is acquiring ilm from internet. Internet is a device which does not connect us with Allah, which disconnects us from Allah. Yes, it has its benefits. Use those benefits. Mobile has its benefits. BlackBerry has its benefits. iPhone, they have their benefits. But with those benefits, how many harms come? And ask yourself, each person is jury and judge for himself. Ask yourself, if you have an iPhone, there are so many gadgets around, I don't even know the names of them. And alhamdulillah, that I don't know the names of them. Internet, mobile phones, internet on the mobile phones, with all the things that we have, all the items that you are able to use on these gadgets, what is it that I and you use it for most? Okay, everybody says that no, it has its benefits as well. What if we use it for? Yes, okay, fine, alhamdulillah. But you are judge and jury for yourself. Ask yourself that from the time you got up this morning until you go to sleep, ask yourself that the number of times you have used your mobiles, did you use it for good or bad? Either it will be for bad, or it will be for neither good nor bad. It will be lie and wasting of time. Our children, our ladies, our men, our young boys, through these gadgets, through these mobiles, our young children, you see them in the mobiles, they are playing games. Young people, what they get up to on the mobiles, on these internets, only Allah and they know. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Young girls, young boys, where they end up, only Allah knows. Nobody knows except Allah. And never mind young girls, young boys, the older generation, what they do on these internets. Because in the initial stages, they do not know how to delete the history. So if they have a pious son, pious child, lot of cases come to me. And when I look at that musalli in the masjid, Allahu Akbar, this musalli, can he get up to these things? Allahu Akbar. And not only the awam, even the khawat are in danger, even the ulama are in great danger. Because when a person is sitting in the middle of the night on the internet, in a secluded room and everybody is asleep, shaitan, nafs are always with us. It may sound extreme. It may sound extreme. But inshallah in the hereafter you will all agree with me. It may sound extreme here, but in the hereafter you will all agree with me. That those people who do not require internet should immediately disconnect themselves from the internet. Because internet will only do two things. Either it will lead you to maasiyat or it will lead you to layani. Maasiyat or layani. Maasiyat or layani. Either of the two. And if internet is necessary for your work, for your office, then use it when people are around you. Use it during the day. Use it when people are around you. And only use it during those times when you know that people are watching you. Because unfortunately we fear people more than Allah. And that is also a haya, haya of a lesser degree. A haya of a higher degree is that we fear Allah. And haya of a lesser degree is that we fear the people. At least that is a ni'mat as well, alhamdulillah. And if there is no haya, no haya of Allah and no haya of people, then people will do whatever they desire. So limit the use of internet if it is necessary for you. So many people write that I have an internet and I fall into this vice and I commit this sin and I have repented so many times, but I always slip. So I ask them, is internet necessary for you? Is this connection necessary for you? Is it that you have some kind of office? Is it that you have some kind of business? No, it's not necessary. It's only for news and this. And just get rid of it. Take it out. Then those people who go on to religious sites, again, because of lack of knowledge, they do not know the background of the organizations they visit. They do not know the background of the speakers they listen to. It is the attraction that appeals them. So they listen to people who are of the wrong aqidah, who are of the wrong ideology. And slowly they drift away from the as-sirat al-mustaqim. And many have drifted away from Islam itself. Islam itself, because they want to listen to certain objections on Islam and they themselves are unable to answer, and they do not want to go and ask somebody who will be able to answer, so they accept whatever is being fed to them. Go into the masajid where talks are held for you, go into the madaris where courses are organized for you, and benefit from them. Internet is not something from where you should benefit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. So I urge all of you to acquire ilm, increase ilm, but authentic and reliable. Through authentic and reliable sources. And read books authored by reliable and authentic ulama, and wherever you do not understand anything in those books, ask the ulama who you are affiliated to, who you are associated to. And in regards to your spiritual matters, by associating yourself to the ulama, the ilm will increase, you will know what is halal, you will know what is haram, you will know what is permissible, what is impermissible, what is farz, what is wajib, what is sunnah, what is mustahab, what is makruh tahrimi, what is makruh tanzihi. But then there are certain aspects of the inner self which is very difficult to control on our own. For example, lustful gazes here and there. How can I control myself? Young people fulfilling their desires through wrong means. How can I control myself? Hasad, jealousy. I know jealousy is haram and I know I am jealous. But how can I control this? How can I get rid of it? It's not like urine or excretion where I take the cloth under the tap and just wash it. No, how can you wash your heart of jealousy? Kibr, I know I am proud. I know I am arrogant. How can I clean my heart? For that you need mashayikh. Connect yourself to mashayikh with whom you are compatible, whom you love, whom you admire, and seek guidance from them. Learn dhikr from them and make the heart zakir. Purify your heart. So ilm and dhikr. Ilm and dhikr. Hold fast to these two things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us acceptance. The verse of the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I have recited. Again, like last week, I was unable to expand on the verse of the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it fits in with what I had to say today, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. Indeed, those people who say, our Rabb is Allah. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. While performing wudu, I heard my dear Mawlana Abu Bakr read this hadith, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ. And this is what prompted me to choose this verse of the Quran and this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّ اللَّهِ. Indeed, those people who say, our Rabb is Allah. So indeed, those people who become mu'minun, become believers. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Thereafter they remain firm. So those people who accept Iman, and then to carry, they remain firm and carry out all the demands of Iman, all the do's and don'ts. So how is it possible to carry out all the do's and don'ts? By acquiring ilm. So they acquire ilm, those people who accept Iman and thereafter remain firm, that means they acquire ilm through authentic sources, reliable sources, and they practice, and they also propagate. These are the true believers. فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. For them there is no fear, they will not grieve, neither in this world nor in the hereafter. أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. These are the people of paradise, they will remain in it forever and ever. جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. As a reward for what they have done in this world. That is, accepting Iman and remaining firm by acquiring authentic ilm, practicing it and propagating it. And the hadith, مَنْ تَمَسَّكَ بِسُنَّةِ. When this becomes difficult, because of the environment we live in, because of the corruption around us, when Iman and remaining firm becomes difficult, looking for authentic knowledge becomes difficult, despite that a person looks for authentic knowledge. Acquiring knowledge becomes difficult, despite that a person takes out time and acquires ilm. Practicing becomes difficult, despite that he practices. Propagating becomes difficult, despite that he propagates. This is the meaning of مَنْ تَمَسَّكَ بِسُنَّةِ عِنْدَ فَسَادِ أُمَّتِ. One who holds fast to my sunnah, my whole deen. Sunnah means the whole deen. One who holds fast to my whole deen, my way of life. مَنْ تَمَسَّكَ بِسُنَّةِ. One who holds fast to my sunnah, my whole deen. One who holds fast to all the farais. One who holds fast to all the wajibat. One who holds fast to abstaining from haram. One who holds fast to abstaining from makruhat tahrimiya. And thereafter he reaches a state, a higher stage. And one who remains steadfast in following my sunnat, following mustahabbat, and abstaining from makruhat tanzihiya, and also carrying out as many optional deeds as possible. One who holds fast to my deen, my way of life, when in the fasadi ummati, at the time of the corruption of my ummah, when my ummah becomes corrupt, ummate da'wat and ummate ijabat, both non-Muslims and Muslims, they both become corrupt, and it becomes very very difficult. Nowadays it's become very very difficult for this person. فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ مِيَةِ شَهِيدٍ. Despite not becoming a martyr, for him will be the rewards of 100 martyrs. Because he is practicing my deen at a time when it is very very difficult. These are the times we are going through. This is the time of the fasadi ummati. And if we practice the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during his time, Allah will be very happy. Because in this day and age, we do not hear encouraging remarks from people. We hear dis-encouraging remarks from people. This is not necessary. There are two views. One is moderate view, this is extreme view you are following. There are differences of opinion amongst the ulama. This is not necessary. So I always tell people, we have a house, and you can buy a carpet which is worth 500 pounds, and you can buy another carpet which is 1000 pounds. So 500 pound carpet is enough, the 1000 pound carpet is not necessary, but we still buy that. And then on top of that, you want a good rug as well. Lights are enough, why chandelier? The plastered walls are enough, why wallpaper and why paint? Just as you want to beautify your home by adding all these extra items, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also desire that we beautify being through these extra items which are called sunnah and mustahab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to understand the true demand of our deen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us acceptance. Wa akhiru da'awana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم أعنا على تلاوة كتابك وكثرة الذكر لك والشكر لك. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما آتيتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زينا بزينة الإيمان. اللهم زينا بزينة الإيمان. اللهم زينا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا. اللهم اجعل حبك أحب الأشياء إلينا. اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا ومن أهلنا ومن الماء البارد. اللهم اجعل وسامس قلوبنا خشيتك وذكرك. اللهم افتح أقفال قلوبنا بذكرك. اللهم اجعلنا من الذاكرين الله كثيرا. اللهم لا تمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين واجعلنا من المتطهرين واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين. اللهم اجعلنا من عبادك المخلصين المخلصين المحبوبين المتقين. اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المقربين الصديقين الصالحين. اللهم اجعلنا من خدام دينك وعشاق حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا رب كل شيء بقدرتك على كل شيء اغفر لنا كل شيء حتى لا تسألنا عن شيء. اللهم احسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها. اللهم احسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها. اللهم احسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم انا نسالك فعل الخيرات وترك المنكرات وحب المساكين وان تغفر لنا وترحمنا اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي ابدا ما ابقيتنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم اجمع كلمتهم على الحق ووحد صفوفهم اللهم أنقذ إخواننا المسلمين المظلومين في كل مكان اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك اجعل اللهم آمنة مطمئنة وسائر بلاد المسلمين اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولأهلينا ولمحبينا ولمحسنينا ولأقاربنا ولإخواننا ولأخواتنا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونستهديك ونؤمن بك ونتوكل عليك ونثني عليك الخير كله ونشكرك ولا نكفرك ونترك من يفجرك اللهم إياك نعبد ولك نصلي ونسجد وإليك نسعى ونحفظ ونرجو رحمتك ونخشى عذابك إن عذابك بالكفار ملحق اللهم اهدنا بفضلك في من هديت وعافنا في من عافيت وتولنا في من توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تبارك ربنا وتعاليت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك وصلى الله على النبي الأمي الكريم اللهم إنا نستعينك على طاعتك اللهم إنا نستعينك على طاعتك اللهم إنا نستعينك على طاعتك اللهم إنا نعوذ برضاك من سخطك وبعفوك من عقابك وبك منك جل وجهك لا نجزي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم لا نجزي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم لا نجزي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كالذي تقول وخيرا مما نقول اللهم ربنا تقبل منا اللهم ربنا تقبل منا اللهم ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم رب تب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم رب تب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين واخر دعوانا ان الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين